your money. And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out. Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You are listening to Becky Ivins, leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, broker of Movers Real Estate Company. And I am excited to have a first-time guest on the radio. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
We are here, and I want you to call in and ask a question, because we are here with Steve from Redbud Property Inspections, Steve Bennett, right?
Yes.
Okay, Steve, you've done inspections for us for a while. Why do we choose you?
Oh, great question. You've got a lot of choices out there. I appreciate that you do choose me. I like to think it's that I'm extremely thorough, but I feel I have that gift where I can tell somebody the house is about to fall down and not have them panic. Just kind of clear, concise, but I
put it down as factual with no drama.
I like that. That's the idea. People don't need drama. They have plenty of stress in the home buying process as it is.
Yeah. And the purpose of the home inspection is for the buyer to decide whether or not they're going to move forward with the purchase. And our real estate contract has changed. And we now have what we call an inspection period. And so after the buyer and seller have agreed upon the terms of the contract, the purchase amount, the earnest money, where it's going to close, how much time that inspection period is allowed, whether or not there's a home warranty, that kind of thing, then during that inspection period, the buyer does what we call not just inspections, but investigations, inspections, and reviews. You get involved in the inspection part of it, and I'll bet you get involved in a little bit of the review and the investigation as well sometimes.
Absolutely. There's the inspection. That's just identifying things that are wrong, but we often get pulled back in to discuss how to deal with those, who to bring in, what they said, or they come back and say it's just fine, and then I'm pulled back in to discuss exactly why it might not be fine.
Right. Well, and the investigation part of that inspection period is to investigate. You can investigate a lot of things. One of my things that I bring up is Megan's Law. Well, I mean, that's not part of your home inspection, is to check for sexual offenders around the property, right?
Absolutely not.
You check tangible things, but there are other things that will involve measuring the square footage of the house is also tangible, but how big the house is. And if the buyer wants to measure the house to be sure the square footage is approximately what was advertised and what they want to purchase, if they want to investigate if the city sewer has backed up in that area repeatedly, if they want to investigate whether or not it's in a floodplain or in a floodway, or it just, you know, is there that field behind it? Is it going to be developed? That's part of the investigation period.
Absolutely. And some of those are items I might mention. I try to kind of not overstep my area of expertise. But yes, if I see that big lot that's on the main street that borders the yard, I might mention to further investigate. The first item you mentioned on Megan's Law. I did an inspection just a couple weeks ago. Very nice, very high-end new build up in North Edmond. And about a week later, I found out that deal had busted. And visited with the realtor, and he said they had done a little bit of research and found that there was an area about a mile away that was kind of a centralized location for a lot of people you might not want to live by. And so they decided, you know, during their period to move on.
Yeah. So you can opt. The thing about that inspection period that a lot of people do not know, we describe this to our buyers and our sellers when we have them sign the offer or sign the contract. We say, well, after that inspection period, as soon as they've investigated and inspected and reviewed any public documents or anything, then they've got two things will happen. Either they're going to say the property's okay, or and we don't want you to do any repairs, or they'll give us a list of repairs to do. Now that's actually just one thing, okay? They will give us a list of repairs, and that list may have nothing on it, but that's pretty rare. Or they will opt out of the contract. So what we're hoping for is that list of repairs to do, because we don't want a buyer to just opt out of the contract.
Right, right.
So we're hoping for that list of repairs. So when you were talking about the parameters of your inspection, kind of tell us what you do inspect.
Absolutely. So the definition loosely of a home inspection is it's a non-invasive visual inspection of the property. It's a snapshot in time of when the home inspector is on site. Things change with houses before I get there, while I'm there, after I'm there. So I'm just handling and reporting how it looks at that time. The big items, of course, mechanical, heat and air, plumbing, electrical. We also look at the framing, the siding, the roof, pretty much every standard component of a house. There are optional items that we often inspect either way, which would be like irrigation systems or fencing on the property. Things that we come across that are not part of a home inspection and we often will leave to an expert might be a more complicated whole house generator, fountains on the property, things like that.
Yeah, so you don't go chasing waterfalls.
Absolutely not.
but do you do pool inspections?
I do pool inspections. It's outside the scope of a home inspection. Some inspectors do, some inspectors don't. I've always thought that if you're going to do a pool inspection, you better have a lot of experience with pools. And so most of my life, I've had a pool at the house and my parents were kind enough to let me handle a lot of those responsibilities growing up. So pools are nothing new to me. So I do include pool inspections.
Okay. Awesome. Well, we're going to be right here with Steve Bennett, Redbud Home Inspections, right when we return, right after this break on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, a broker of Movers Real Estate Company and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. What that means is that we do have independent realtors that work under the company, but I have my own personal team that works with me. And we are here with Steve Bennett of Redbud Home Inspections, and we are, is it actually called that, or is it just Redbud Inspections?
Redbud Property Inspections, but the properties are mostly homes. So.
There you go. Yeah. And we're talking about home inspections, what you do inspect, what you don't inspect. And before our break, Dean Riddell said something about a flip property. I thought I might talk about flips and where the cosmetic stuff's done, and it's kind of hard for the buyer to see past the nice honed granite and the wood floors and the the porch post and stuff, and into the guts of the home. And kind of the same thing with a new home, new construction looks awfully pretty. So do you do new home inspections?
Absolutely. I do a lot of new home inspections, and I do, it seems like every other property I inspect is a flip property.
Okay. So how do you approach a new home inspection differently than you would an existing home?
Okay. New home inspection, by the standards we inspect to, we're going to inspect it the exact same way. We're going to inspect every item, whether it's a new home or 30-year-old home. The primary difference for me is I'm going to be a little pickier with a new home. It's one of the few times that everything on the inspection report ideally should be addressed by the builder versus a TRR, where you might pick a handful of more important items. You're buying a brand new home. You expect it to be perfect in every way, and even cosmetic items are a little more important at that time.
Right. So do you ever find anything wrong with a brand new home?
Every time. There's never been a perfect report. Happy to say most of the local builders, we get pretty good inspection reports. There's the little things that I'm going to find in most of them that are just a matter of the last finishings, maybe little things being missed. Almost on every one, there's going to be a couple of those. But a lot of times it's just they know that, and they haven't had their guy to finish up the last few things. The big things I find, I include an infrared thermal scan on all my inspections. Some do, some don't. It's one of those things that if your inspector's using a thermal camera, make sure they're trained to use a thermal camera. There's a lot of mixed messages when you look at those screens and you see all the colors. There's a lot of assumptions that could be wrong when you use one. This week, for instance, I was inspecting a brand new build, a reputable builder here in Edmond, and I finished the inspection. It was really good, just a couple minor items, what you would really want to see in a home inspection on a new home. And I pulled out my thermal camera just to scan the walls and ceilings. Occasionally, when they're doing the insulation, maybe they have to go back and fix a can light, and they brush aside a big section. And after the electrician fixes the light, nobody goes back and puts the insulation in place. So if you're looking at that with a thermal camera, it'll stand out as a big hot spot or a big cold spot. And it's something you're not going to know if you didn't see that portion of the attic, and you're absolutely not going to see it from the inside of the house. So I was scanning the house, and in the master bathroom, I saw something, what we call a thermal anomaly. On a cold day, on the outside, when you're looking at the ceilings on the inside, you should see kind of a warm orange glow. That's meaning it's room temp. If the attic's really cold and that cold air is getting to the ceiling, you're going to see blue or purple, indicating cold spots or possibly a wet spot. So in the master bath, I saw these four circles along a beam, and it didn't really make sense. I thought, well, that could be insulation missing. So I got my ladder and used a moisture meter and found that the moisture content was extremely high in those four spots. And so we had obviously found some type of leak in the new build. Fortunately, in the attic, I was able to kind of identify where off in the distance at the elbow joint of a PVC vent pipe, there was just a very slow drip. And that had probably been going on since it was the house was first under construction, and just it took that long to leave some staining in some spots. But wouldn't have found that any other way. In the attic, you wouldn't have seen it. Tiny drop from a pretty good distance. And so now the buyer knows to have that builder repair that vent pipe and possibly do some repair on the ceiling.
Right, because a lot of folks don't understand that every time you have a drain, you have to have a vent that penetrates your ceiling. Now, some of those vents are kind of tied together in the attic. So just because you've got six bathrooms doesn't always mean that you've got, there's at least three things in a bathroom that have a drain, a sink, a a toilet in a tub or shower.
Absolutely.
So those can be tied together, right? Mm-hmm. So that you don't have that many penetrations through your roof. But you kind of picture it kind of like how you can put your finger over the top of a straw and you can lift out the liquid. It won't drip out the bottom until you let go of that straw from the top and give it a vent.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So those cause a lot of problems from moisture intrusion, because the boots around those, the lifespan of those is what, about 8 years?
Oh, yeah. They're usually less than the roof around here. But they corrode, they start to get brittle, they chip apart, and it takes a very small opening for water to find a way through. And
Maintenance. Maintain your roof. I mean, you should walk around your house. I say walk around your house every month looking at the structure, just to look at it. And then if you have any crack or something like that, you're aware of it. And then have a roofer walk the roof every year and just look at it. Everything I own, Robin's Roofing checks once a year. They walk it, they look at it, and make sure that it's good. So home inspections, you're going to at least be able to tell the builder what the deficiency is so the builder can fix it. But if it's a flip, you don't have a builder or builder's warranty to go back on. We're going to cover a little bit of that. So stay tuned with more. If you want Steve Bennett's phone number, by the way, it's 200-8957. 200-8957. I'll see you on the other side of the break. This is Becky Ivins at 722-3232. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate. My license number is 47388. And I am here today with Steve Bennett. Do you have a license number, Steve? You do, don't you?
Inspectors
now have license numbers. So
I think it's 1799, but
there you go. Word of the day today is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing to fix the smallest of little roof issues or to replace your whole roof, whether residential or commercial. I want you to call and talk to my friend Larry Robbins at 728-3700, 728-3700. Our word today is inspection. Now, some people do not understand what a home inspection is. Different types of inspection, but to define the word inspection, it basically is to carefully examine or scrutinize. So, Steve, how does it apply in the home inspection business?
Yeah, I mentioned earlier that the inspection it's non-invasive. It's a limited inspection, visual is probably the best word. We're there for a relatively short period of time, and most home inspections are somebody's house, and so I can't go in their house and I wonder what kind of plumbing pipe is behind the sink. I can't see it. I can't open up the wall to take a look. So I'm not going to tear up anybody's property. Not going to disassemble appliances. We're going to use tools. I mentioned a thermal imaging camera that can help us kind of have an idea what might be going on in somewhere that we can't see. But we're not going to open things up to verify. That's beyond the scope of the home inspection. Appliances, certain limitations. We're going to run the oven, make sure it's heating up, make sure it's operating properly, within a good range of where it should be. We're going to run the dishwasher. We're going to make sure it's functioning properly, pulling water, make sure it's draining properly, make sure it's not leaking. We're not going to go so far as to wash a load of dishes, but we're going to give it a good visual inspection and make sure it runs mechanically properly.
And, you know, that's one of the things that we have a little bit of issue with on home inspections. People don't know how to prepare for a home inspection. And we tell people we tell our sellers when it's time for your home inspection, you need to do a few things. One is to be sure that there are no clothes in your washing machine, because that has to be filled and drained to be sure that the water supply is sufficient, that it gets hot and cold water in there, and that once it's full, that it drains properly. So they're not inspecting your appliance, but they're inspecting the supply lines and the drain lines to be sure that they're operational. And then another thing is to be sure that, well, you don't want particularly dishes in your dishwasher, because that's run through a whole cycle. And you may have pots and pans in there, and the inspector's not going to run it through a pots and pans cycle. They're going to run it through just a standard cycle to be sure that the water, like you say, the water doesn't leak out the door, to be sure that the pump is actually working and taking the water out of the dishwasher, and the drain's working properly, and that kind of thing. But another thing is moving personal belongings. I mean, if your electrical box is in a closet, move the clothes away from it. So first of all, the inspector can find it. Of course, you can go on the outside usually and tell where it is inside. But they don't want to mess with your stuff to find out if, you know, where things are or to be able to adequately inspect them, right?
Absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned not wanting to touch or move your stuff. I can't tell you how often I go into a garage. I find one door that's got a pile of stuff in it, and I know it's the water heater. Maybe a cabinet where the furnace is located is also blocked. You mentioned the electrical panel. That's probably the most common. And then the attic access. You can't pull down the door because they've got a stack of four tires under it.
Or a car parked right
absolutely,
under it.
Absolutely. People leave their car in the garage. They figure, well, I'm leaving the house. I'll just leave the car here. Or maybe it's an empty house and they still use the garage for storage of their cars. We're going to want to inspect that. We need to inspect it. And if we don't inspect it, we're going to check a few boxes. We're going to make that limitation known to the buyer. And we're going to recommend that it be made accessible and be inspected. And
you're really limited if you can't inspect the attic.
Right.
As a home inspector, the attic has a lot of stuff in it.
Right? Right. You can see the underside of the roof. You're going to find out if there's staining or problems with the roofing. The framing itself, we find broken framing members weekly. And these are things that might not show up right away, but, you know, over the years, your roof starts sagging.
Or an ice or a snow load on there, and you end up having a big knot hole break.
Mm-hmm. And so personal items. You know, it's always the last person to touch it is the one that broke it. As an inspector, you're put in a position where you're touching other people's things all the time, every day, and at some point something's gonna go wrong. So our preference is to not have to touch or move anything. We don't know what's in those boxes. Is it fragile dishes? Is it safety to us to move items? So, like I mentioned, unless it's something, you know, real easy, we can just scoot aside. We're probably not going to do it, and we're going to see if somebody can be made available to do it while we're there. But if we're not able to do that, the buyer's put in that position of, do they want to buy a house if they haven't, you know, been able to get a report on certain items, or are they going to ask me to come back for a fee? And then who pays that fee? Does the buyer want to pay the fee because the seller didn't have the house ready, or, you know, it's another negotiation, but it's just an unnecessary step. You know, if you can get the house ready, make things available, the inspections go a lot quicker, and happy inspectors are good for everyone.
And I'm ready for the eye roll on this one, and have the utilities on.
No doubt. I have on my schedule, there's a question that says, are the utilities on? Because I want everybody to think about that. Are they on? Can we make sure they're on? And if they're off, I have a process where I'll check in and say, hey, are these going to be on by the time I get there? Or, you know, here's why we need them on. If we don't have electricity, I really, you know, hopefully I have, you know, enough light to do the inspection, but there's going to be dark areas. I'm going to try to use my flashlight, but you can't check the heat and air. You can't check the lighting. You don't know if the breakers even work.
Well, and gas is the one that's usually left off, especially during the summer. If it's a vacant property and the folks move out and you don't really need gas if you're not living there, but that needs to be checked. The gas line needs to be checked, all the gas appliances and water heater and furnace and stuff.
And not just having the gas utility turned on, but making sure it's turned on at the appliances, at the water heater, at the furnace. Sometimes it's, you know, for savings, you might, if it's an empty house, you might shut those off. But from an inspector perspective, it's never good to turn a valve of any type, whether it's water or gas or electrical breakers. We don't know why they're off. Quite often, any of those items are shut off because there's a problem. So if we go into every house and just assume there's no problem and flip switches, something's going to happen. I had that experience this year on a happened to be the largest fireplace I've ever seen. Of course, this wouldn't happen with a little fireplace. The gas valve was off, and the buyer really wanted to test it, and I explained why we probably shouldn't and leave that to the seller to show us that it works properly. I went about my inspection, then I heard she was looking for matches, so she was determined to test this, and so I grabbed another inspector, and I said, let's go ahead and test this for her. Fortunately, the damper was open, so a lot of the gas that was leaking was going up, and that's probably why the smell was not there, because it was going up through the damper. But like I mentioned, it was a huge fireplace, and so I asked the other inspector, I said, go around the corner and wait till I tell you, and when I tell you, go ahead and turn on that gas valve. So I wanted to get my lighter turned on before he even turned the gas on. So I proceed to click my lighter, and I didn't get to ask him to turn the gas valve on, because when I clicked my lighter, we had a pretty significant flash, and it was enough to throw me back, and everybody was kind of blown away at that point. And so we determined there was a gas leak after the shutoff, and so it had been a constant small leak, and just enough of that gas was sitting in the fireplace to ignite. So we assume they're always shut off for a reason. It's just not safe if you're doing it all the time.
Wow. And we're going to talk about the things that are usually extra on a home inspection when we return. And we're going to have our smoking hot deals right after this on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins. If you want to get the contact information for any of my favorites, that would Steve Bennett would be one of those with Redbud Property Inspections. Just go to BeckyIvins.com and look. There's a tab on there that says Becky's Favorites, and there's going to be all the contact information that you're going to need on there. And they're not, it's not a long list, by the way, and you have to earn your way onto that list. So if I wouldn't trust you in my home by yourself, you're probably not going to get on that list. So people I've worked with for decades are on the list, and you can trust them. And we are here with Steve Bennett of Redbud Property Inspections. And Steve's one of my favorites. And to get to be a favorite, you've got to offer a fair price, be reliable to show up. You don't steal anything, and you're really, really good at your job. So we were talking about extras on home inspection, Steve. And what comes to your mind when you think about the extra things?
The most common extras or add-ons that we perform very easily would be well and septic inspections.
Yeah, environmental, we Absolutely. Call them, inspections. So well and septic, when you get a new mortgage, those have to be checked.
Yes, that would definitely explain why they're the most common, because there's a lot of folks, I think, would just skip it.
Which is not a good thing to do. You've got to maintain those items too, right?
Absolutely.
You need to check your well water. I mean, when I was growing up, I grew up on well water, and Daddy would check it a couple times a year. You have to take the water down and have it tested. And but that way you're drinking safe water, right?
It's been a very busy week for positive bacteria tests on well samples. It seems like, I don't know if it's all the rain we had this year in the early part of the year that possibly contaminated wells, but it just seems to be a lot of positive results lately.
Positive meaning negative.
Yes, as in it's positively got bacteria.
And you don't want that. You don't want to get sick. And
There's a couple we test for. We do the basic bacterial test. It's usually the one that's required. And we test for total coliform and E. coli. E. coli, that's a pretty rare result, especially if somebody's living in the house. You probably already know there's something wrong with the water. Total coliform, it's much more common, but I best describe it as an environment conducive for the more harmful bacteria to be present. So,
okay, so you do well in septic. What do you do for a septic tank inspection?
Septic tank, we do a very basic inspection, and we let people know that we're kind of that in-between option. It can be really expensive to have a septic company come out and dig a hole in your backyard, do a lot of the more in-depth septic system inspections. So we perform a simple visual inspection, looking for the more obvious problems, which could be, you know, surface leakage or, you know, the unpleasant smells, you know, that might be coming from that direction. But we identify reasons that a consumer might want to have a septic company come out and evaluate the entire system.
Do they uncover them to evaluate them?
They if it's an older, true septic system, the lids are almost always buried, and they have to locate it. They don't always match up with the septic records, so you go around, you locate the lid, then they dig it up and open up the tank and do some measurements.
Man, now that's one area. If you've ever been around when that septic tank is opened up, that is one area where they ought to put cameras to use.
Absolutely. It's something you have to know what you're doing. You don't want to take a lid off and not know what you're doing. Those can be a pretty big safety hazard, those fumes coming up, and people have been known to be overcome and actually fall in the tank. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. But it's something that you really need to have that expertise and know what you're doing.
Yeah. A new septic is self-contained. But back in the day, they built them with cinder block and put a concrete lid on them, and that was the holding tank, which didn't hold. I mean, if you know anything about cinder block, it's really not waterproof. But nowadays, it's just a self-contained. They come out there, dig a hole, stick it in. The baffles are already there, and you just hook it up and dig your trenches for your laterals. But then sometimes they do aerobic systems. Do you check those as well?
Yeah, the aerobic systems, they're the newer ones. If you're looking at anything built in the last decade in relatively close to the metro area, it's probably going to be an aerobic system. Those are known by the lids, the green lids that you see on the surface, usually a few lids in a row. They're considered the newer standard, but they bring complications to the system that anytime you introduce mechanical aspect and powered equipment, it introduces something that the older septic systems have worked for generations, and they were simple machines. And like you mentioned, they used to use cinder blocks. It's not a complicated, but they have to be done right. So we actually find, you know, there's more to inspect with an aerobic, and there's a lot more that can go wrong.
Right. But I had a house over in Bethany that I own that is on septic. There's like one block long that the city does not provide sewer for. And I wanted to put it in an aerobic system because it just made sense to me. Didn't qualify for it. It's sandy soil over there.
That's right. Wow.
So I had to put in an old-timey, well, I mean, it was a new self-contained system, but I had to dig that up and put new laterals, the whole backyard's laterals, which is just ridiculous because the city doesn't have sewage for one block of properties over there.
Your block.
Yeah, the block that, yeah. But it has a good system now, so, which ought to last a long time. So now, do you ever check for mold?
I look for mold. So if I'm on an inspection, I am aware of when I see what looks to be mold. Not being certified for mold inspections, I'm never going to tell somebody outright you have mold. I'm going to use some funny term. You know, it might be mold like substance or fungal growth. And I'm going to refer it to a qualified specialist.
Wes Anderson's who we use for that. I think his company's Environmental Solutions. But he's great and is very reasonably priced. Steve Bennett, thank you. It was fun. Redbud Property Inspections. And go to BeckyIvins.com and go to the Favorites tab, and you're going to find Steve's information there. If you're looking for a home inspection, my realtor friends, please do that. And I am going to be here next week with more Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000. Thanks for tuning in.